Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Stay tuned for a Best of the Pigskin Dispatch on a Veterans Day special.
Everyone, this is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. And before we get started on this November 11th show, it is Veterans Day. And I'd like to say a special thanks to all our veterans of all our military branches that have done everything to keep us free and safe and living the lifestyle that we want to and having games like football that we can enjoy. We like your contributions that you've given to us. We admire your bravery and your dedication to our country. And this is a day we want to thank you. So please, everybody, if you see a vet, please thank them. We have a couple vets that are provided music on the show, the Monroe brothers, Mike and Gene, and we thank them for their duty as well as all our veterans for the United States. And now let's get on with our show. Thank you.
Discussing the football events of November 11th is what some may say is like putting 10 gallons of Gatorade in a 5-gallon cooler. As we talk about Brett Favre joining a club that only he and Dan Marino belong to, 184 points scored in one college football game, and Lamar Jackson scores 4 TDs in his quest for the Heisman, all coming up in just a moment.
PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the pig pen in western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we have a great podcast in line for you today as we go through the football history headlines of November 11th and talk about some legends and Hall of Famers that have birthdays on this day. So let's get right at it. November 11th, 1911, Cambridge, Massachusetts. A true legend of the game started writing his football story, as reported in an article on NCAA.com. The Carlisle Indian School of Carlisle, PA, led by Jim Thorpe, upset the nationally ranked Harvard University football squad by the score of 18-15 as 25,000 in attendance looked on. Thorpe scored every single point for Carlisle in that game as he punched in a touchdown, kicked an extra point, and 4 field goals. The Indians were coached by Pop Warner in his 10th year as head coach. Carlisle on the season compiled a record of 11-1, outscored opponents 298-49, and Walter Camp easily selected Jim Thorpe as a first-team All-American. Our next stop on the gridiron timeline takes us to November 11th, 1939, in Shreveport, Louisiana, and a great story on ComDiggyNews.com tells us of a contest between the Texas Tech Red Raiders and the Centenary College Gentlemen. This college football game set more NCAA records than any other game in NCAA history with 13. Texas Tech and Centenary played to a 0-0 tie in a torrential downpour. According to the Weather Underground's historical archives, there was 2.23 inches of rain that fell in Shreveport, Louisiana on game day. The players were getting hurt left and right, and the oversized ball used at the time when wet was very hard to hang on to. It sounds really odd, but according to the article, weather was the dictating strategy. Traditional offenses were ineffective at best, not to mention dangerous, so both teams decided that punting the ball away was the best play. Centenary took the opening kickoff and ran it to the 13. Without hesitation, the gentleman punted on the first play from scrimmage. After running just 2 plays, the Red Raiders followed suit and punted on 3rd down. Altogether, there were an NCAA record 77 punts in the game just because of this, 39 by Tech and 38 by Centenary. The most amazing fact was that 67 of the 77 occurred on 1st down. Talk about a record that'll never be broken. Our next headline takes us to November 11th, 1978, Colorado Springs, Colorado. From the RumbleSeat.com tells a tale of the game quite well, that after a lousy previous season and their former coach Ben Martin announcing his retirement, Air Force hired a young guy by the name of Bill Parcells to coach them.
You would think that the Falcons would be ready for a big win, frigid Saturday in Colorado Springs, Colorado, containing temperatures as low as 21 degrees Fahrenheit. One would think that Georgia Tech would be at a severe disadvantage coming into such chilly conditions from hot Georgia. No one told the Yellow Jackets' rushing offense, though, as the running back Eddie Lee Ivory rushes for 356 yards to lead Georgia Tech to a 42-21 victory over Air Force. We'll stay with the college game on our next headline as we go to November 11th, 1995. OSU's Eddie George rushes for a school record 314 yards on 36 carries and scored three touchdowns to boot as Ohio State routed the University of Illinois 41-3. The website 11warriors.com summed up the story nicely. Running against the Illini was supposed to be a difficult task, as coming into the 10th game of the season, Illinois was ranked 10th in the nation in run defense, giving up barely more than 100 yards per game. Linebackers Simeon Rice and Kevin Hardy were All-American caliber and were stout against the run. That's all well and good, but those facts seemed to motivate Eddie G and his blockers up front. George had over 100 yards in the first quarter alone and over 180 by halftime. Eddie kept up the yardage after the half, too, as on the first play of the second half, George took the handoff from quarterback Hoying and burst through a hole on the left side and sped down the sideline for a 64-yard touchdown. As we said earlier, 314 yards for Eddie George and a 41-3 Buckeye victory. Here's our next headlines. November 11th, year 2000, South Bend, Indiana. According to the OnThisDay.com website, the 12th annual College Football Holy War was played as Notre Dame knocked off Boston College 28-16. 1 year later to the day, November 11th, 2001, at Husky Stadium in Seattle, Washington, the Seahawks young running back Sean Alexander, in just his sixth start, ran to rock for 266 yards on 35 carries and scored on an 88-yard touchdown run as Seattle upset the favored Oakland Raiders 34-27. Now let's stay with the Oakland Raiders, but now in just a little bit more of a positive light as we go 1 year later after that, November 11th, 2002. With some record-setting performances, the Oakland Raiders scooted past the Denver Broncos by the score of 34-10. ESPN.com tells a story how 36-year-old veteran quarterback Rich Gannon completed 21 straight passes, and a 40-year-old greatest-of-all-time wide receiver named Jerry Rice became the first player to score 200 career touchdowns. Now let's skip down that timeline just a little bit and go to November 11, 2007 in Green Bay, Wisconsin. CNRouter.com has the headline story that tells us how Brett Favre joined Dan Marino as the only two quarterbacks to throw for 60,000 yards in a career. Favre accomplished this feat during his second quarter of Green Bay's 34-0 win over the Minnesota Vikings. Old number four passed for 351 yards and three touchdowns in the Green Bay victory. Let's scoot ahead 4 years into the future, November 11, 2011, in Montgomery, Alabama. A piece on AL.com tells us that Faulkner University defeated Union University of Kentucky by the amazing score of 95-89 in triple overtime to set an NAIA football record. The 184 combined points smashes the previous mark of 141 set in 1994 when Southwestern University defeated Sterling University in the state of Kansas shootout at a tune of a 79-62 final score. The 184 points in our 2011 game, though, was only the second highest scoring game in college football history, surpassed only by Georgia Tech's 222-0 blasting of Cumberland in 1916. Our next story takes us to November 11, 2017 in Louisville, Kentucky. The University of Louisville's Lamar Jackson accounted for four touchdowns and 342 yards as the Cardinal dropped Virginia 38-21. The DailyPress.com story fills us in on the action. Lamar Jackson passed for 195 yards, rushed for 147 in the game against the Cavaliers. Lamar established an NCAA milestone in the victory as well. Jackson, the Heisman Trophy winner, became the first player in NCAA history to post two seasons with 1,000 yards rushing and 3,000 yards passing. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the embed player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Hi, folks. Are you curious about some of the unique players, teams, games, and events of pro football's past? If you are, please check out my bi-weekly podcast, The Pigskin Past. I'm Joe Zagorski, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America and the Pro Football Researchers Association. I've written three books about pro football history, and I'm currently writing my fourth. Now, my era of expertise is the 1970s in the NFL. Heck, I even have a Facebook page by that title, and my very first book also has the same title, The NFL in the 1970s. But every now and then I check out a different era, so I might surprise you. Anyway, if you like pro football history, please check out my bi-weekly segment here called The Pigskin Pass when you get a chance. I think you'll enjoy it.
Now let's pull that cake out of the oven, ice it, and throw some candles on it, because we're going to celebrate some Hall of Fame birthdays for November 11th, and we'll start off in the year 1908, November 11th, in Galax, Virginia. The quarterback from the University of Tennessee, Bobby Dodd, was born. Dodd played with the Volunteers from 1928 through the 1930 season. The National Football Foundation's website does a nice job on the bio of Bobby Dodd, as they tell how he was successful at almost any endeavor he put his mind to. Besides football, where the Vols were 27-1-2 in his three seasons, he also won tournaments in tennis and bridge. His talent at football was showcased in his running, passing, and kicking abilities. The article goes on to say that the famous football journalist Grantland Rice named him to the 1930 All-America team, while Edmund Camp of the Atlanta Journal called Dobb the greatest football player ever developed in the South. Bobby Dodd was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1959. Our next Hall of Famer with a birthday had a birthday of exactly the same date as the one before, as November 11th, 1908, only this time in Newark, New Jersey, John Orsi, the N from Colgate, arrived into the world. The footballfoundation.org website describes Orsi offensively as a swift, nimble, and high-leaping pass catcher who was the main contributor to the scoring machine of Colgate. On defense, he was a play-disrupting, jolting tackler. All in all, a two-way playmaker in today's terms. During Orsi's career at Colgate, that lasted from 1929 through 1931, the Raiders had a 25-3 record and had 19 shutouts of opponents in those games. After the 1931 season, John earned All-American honors. The National Football Foundation selected John Orsi to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1982. Next stop on the birthday history train took place November 11, 1939, Mobile, Alabama. Auburn's great fullback Eddie Dias was born. Dias was a great two-way player for the Tigers, but on offense, he led the team in rushing and scores. In fact, the NFF's website biography on Ed says that he was named as an All-American at fullback, and was the SEC's most outstanding back and a first-team All-Conference in 1960. In his 4 years at Auburn, he handled all of the kicking besides playing linebacker and fullback. Heck, one has to wonder if he ever left the field. Oh, and did I mention that Dias set an NCAA record for field goals in a season with 13? Ed Dias was also selected as an NFF National Scholar Athlete and received the Bill Street Award for the highest senior GPA and won the Cliff Hare Award, the highest honor at Auburn. An athlete can have to receive for academic, athletic, and leadership development. In 2009, the powers that be in the NFF voted Ed Dias to join the exclusive club of the College Football Hall of Fame. We come to another Hall of Fame birthday, November 11, 1961, Petersburg, Virginia. That marked the day of the birth of Ricky Hundley, the linebacker from the University of Arizona. Hundley was a four-year letter winner at Arizona, as according to the NFF, he turned down a lucrative minor league baseball contract with the Pittsburgh Pirates to attend school and play football. Ricky Hundley made a wise choice as he became a consensus All-American linebacker in 1982 and a unanimous All-American in 1983. The College Football Hall of Fame found a place for Ricky Hundley in 1997 in their hall. After school, Hundley played in the NFL for seven seasons with the Denver Broncos, Phoenix Cardinals, and the Los Angeles Raiders. He also served as executive vice president of the NFL Players Association and coached some in the college ranks. If you thought today's podcast was great, just wait till tomorrow as we discuss the football history headlines for November 12th. In that, we'll talk about the first game in football history where a player was played to pay, the first NFL game in Pittsburgh, and a judge rules that the NFL can black out home games, all coming up on tomorrow's podcast. So subscribe by clicking the subscription button on the embed player or email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com and we'll put you on the email list and you'll have it just as soon as the episode's released. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.